Okay, so what we're going to discuss, the beginning of the parasha says, "V'kidashto ki eslechem elokechu makriv," that we're supposed to be mekadesh to Kohen. The Gemara says in source 2 that "V'kidashto" means to honor him in different ways. So the real source, meaning you're supposed to give him the first whatever, to give him the first to be mechaber him with Berachas HaMazon and a whole variety of things. The Gemara comes on to the discussion in source 1 that Mivnei Darkei Shalom Kohen Kohi Rishon Vachrav Levi Vachrav Yisrael, that the Seder Aliyahs, when you give out Aliyahs, it's supposed to be Kohen Levi Yisrael. So the Gemara starts, you know, by giving a whole variety of sources as to why that is, and meaning there should be sukkim that indicate that it should be Kohen Levi Yisrael, and the Gemara is wondering why Darkei Shalom is necessary at all, and then at the end the Gemara says, well, what about V'kidashto L'chol Dever Shekadusha Liftoch Rishon Levarach Rishon Levi? You're supposed to honor the Kohen first with everything. So the Gemara says that basically, if not for Darkei Shalom, the Kohen could give his aliyah to somebody else. Meaning, like if you honor a Kohen to lead the benching, he could say, okay, why don't you do it instead of me? But specifically with aliyahs, they were concerned that it would lead to machlokas. Why'd you give him and not me? So you can't give it away specifically when it comes to aliyahs. The other question is why the Gemara quotes other psukim as opposed, meaning, there's the Darkei Shalom factor, but then there's another reason to just go Kohen Levi Yisrael. The Gemara quotes a variety of psukim, and then it says V'kidashto. So the Prima Gadim says there's four differences between these other psukim and V'kidashto. Number one is that Kohen Levi Yisrael only applies to Kriyas HaTorah. It wouldn't apply to benching or anything. You know, anytime you have a line of people who are waiting to do something, you wouldn't say Kohen Levi Yisrael. V'kidashto only applies to honoring Kohen. It doesn't apply to a Levi. Number two, the second aliyah specifically to the first one only applies to Kriyas HaTorah. The order Kohen Levi Yisrael, that's number two, that it should be Kohen Levi Yisrael, that only applies based on these other psukim and specifically to Kriyas HaTorah. The third, the Prima Gadim suggests that maybe a Baal Mum, the mitzvah of V'kidashto, would not apply. If you can't do the avoda, it says V'kidashto ki eslechem elokecha umakriv, because he's a person who's going to offer korbanos, that might only apply to a Kohen who's worthy of doing the avoda. If he has certain blemishes, can't do the avoda, so then you wouldn't have that mitzvah. And number four, and this is where the discussions really kick in, that a Kohen Ama Aretz, should he come before a Talmud Chacham? So V'kidashto does not seem to apply to honoring a Kohen Ama Aretz before a Talmud Chacham. V'kidashto only applies people on equal footing. But if there's somebody who's clearly a Talmud Chacham over a Kohen Am Haaretz, so the Talmud Chacham would win out and the Kidasha would not apply.
What does Darkei Shalom fit into that?
So Darkei Shalom, okay, so we'll get to that. What happened to Darkei Shalom? but at least for other areas, let's say for benching, you would pick the Talmud Chacham over the Kohen Am Haaretz. So can you give a Talmud Chacham and a Aliyah over an ordinary Kohen? So the Gemara in source 4 quotes Rabbi Preda, "V'lo b'irachti lifnei Kohen." So he says, I never took the first Aliyah. So big deal, he never took the first Aliyah. I don't know anyone who took the first Aliyah. If I'm Rabbi Yochanan, call Talmud Chacham, right? Chayav Misa. So it sounds like you can't give him the first right. So the Gemara says that it depends if they're on equal footing or not. Meaning, if they're on equal footing, that was a pretty. I mean, I never took it before another Kohen on my level, but if it's Talmud Chacham, so then it would. So the Rambam says, and that should be the halacha. Meaning, the Kidasho doesn't apply to a Kohen Am Haaretz. But the Rambam in Hilchos Tefila writes, "Minag Pashut Hayom Shafil Kohen Am Haaretz Kodem Likros Lifnei Chacham Godol Yisrael." So the minag is that we don't bump people up because they're greater Talmud Chacham, and the Kohen Am Haaretz wins the day. the Rosh quotes his father that maybe there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov versus the weekday. And then he quotes the Gaonim that even if the Gadol Hador comes to town, we still give the Kohen the first Aliyah. Okay, so that's Minhag Yisrael, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And yet, the Maharik writes he discusses a case, there's a Minhag, that the shul, particular shul, on Shabbos Bereishis, they decided the first Aliyah will go to the highest bidder. So there was a Kohen who said, what do you mean? I'm not giving up my first Aliyah. Meaning, you know how it is, like they auction off the Aliyahs, so in a lot of places, you know, they make the Kohen pay the premium price, or if not, they just give him the Aliyah. So in this particular shul, he didn't want to pay, and the Kohen said, I'm not giving up my Aliyah, it's my Aliyah. So the Marik says that he could force him out and give the highest bid of the Aliyah. And he says that Kavod HaTorah beats the honor owed to the Kohen, even, and the Kavod HaTorah is more important than the Gadol Hador, meaning a Gadol Hador can't get an Aliyah over a Kohen Amaretz, but Kavod HaTorah is on a higher level. So what does that mean? So the Chasam Sofer says, especially in light of the Rambam, it says Minhag Pashut, right? So the Chasam Sofer says that the whole reason for the Minhag is because of Machlokas, meaning he starts saying, oh, this person's a Talmud Chacham and this person's not, it's going to lead to Machlokas. But here, there's a specific situation where they say the highest bidder, meaning that's the Minhag, the highest bidder gets an Aliyah on Shabbos Bereishis, so that's not going to lead to Machlokas. The highest bidder gets it, and there's nothing to fight about. The Maram Shik has a kind of a corollary. There was a case where there's one Kohen in town. So there's not going to be a machlokas there because he, you know, can he just say, I'm giving up my rights to let the shul do what they want. So if he wants to give out the aliyahs, that might be a problem. But if he's giving over his rights to the tzibur and saying, I don't need the aliyah this week, so then maybe, according to Chasam Sofer, he'd be able to do that. But the Maram Shik says, you know what, let's limit this to specific situations. The Tshuv Me'avah of Elazar Flekalis thinks that the Maharil's, even a more specific situation where there was a law, meaning there was a long-standing practice, and it's not just, you know, you can't just say, okay, this week we're going to sell the Kohen Aliyah, and you can't protest. Meaning the Chasam Sofer might be mashma that you could do that, the Tshuv Me'avah says no. The Mishnah Berurah basically follows the Chasam Sofer. He doesn't really deal with the Tshuv Me'avah. Rav Moshe in source 14 has a tshuva, long tshuva about this, and he goes through the whole lumdus of the Ma'arik, and he thinks that the difference here, meaning the normal reason why, let's say, a Talmud Chacham can't beat a Kohen is because the Kohen is not only representing himself, he's representing the whole nation of Kohanim. So maybe this Talmud Chacham is greater than this particular Kohen, but the Talmud Chacham is not greater than all generations of Kohanim. But Kavod HaTorah is a whole separate thing, meaning where the institution of honoring the Torah exceeds the honor that is due to the Kahuna in general, and therefore you can bypass the Kohen. So does the Kohen, let's say in situations like this, does the Kohen actually have to step out? So the Ramah says, Tov she'elech ha-Kohen, it's better for him to do that. The Taz says, what do you mean, Tov? That sounds like you don't have to, but it's better. The Taz says, maybe in the days of the Gemara, when they had exceptions, when it was allowed, that's one thing. But now that we have a Minhag Kavua, so if you don't give an Aliyah to the Kohen, so it's going to look like there's something, meaning that he's not really a Kohen, that he's a Cholel or some other psul. So we... So it's required according to the Taz. Rav Vadi Yosef says you can, when there's a simcha, at least on Monday and Thursday. We didn't get into that whole sugya of Monday and Thursday for Shabbos, but the Bali Atosos talk about that. So he says that you can call up somebody else and say afal pi sheyesh kohen. So he doesn't have to leave. I've seen some shuls that on a regular basis they just say mechilas the kohen, they don't even ask the kohen him, and they just go ahead without it.
Didn't Rav Avadya himself take rishon?
Could be. Yeah. One last point, let's see what we can get to here. What happens if there's no Kohen? So the Gemara says Nispar da Chavila. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Rashi has two interpretations. One is that the Levi loses his right, meaning that's it, the Levi can't get an Aliyah anymore. And the second interpretation is that you don't have to put the Levi ahead of the Yisrael, meaning Nispar da Chavila, meaning there's no Kohen, the bundle's broken, so give Yisrael, Levi, you know, whatever. So the Mordechai follows the second approach, and the Ritva follows the first approach. And the Rambam, which is the language that you find in Shulchan Aruch, he main Kohen Vesek Knesses, Kori Yisrael B'Makam Kohen, below Yala Achar of Levi. A Levi can't come after Yisrael. So it doesn't say what to do about the first Aliyah, meaning you can call the Yisrael first, the Ramah Eitz Aval Rishon Yuchalalos. But you can call the Levi first and then Yisrael. So a lot of shuls do that. They'll call up a Levi and then Yisrael. Rabbi Soloveitchik in Source 25, Rav Shechter quotes this, that the Rav used to always point out the first sheet in Rashi, that Nisparta Chavila means you can't call up a Levi. So Rav Shechter thinks that it was just for educational purposes. The Rav was a Levi, so every time this happened, he would say, I don't want to get a Aliyah sheet this Rashi. But not that he held like that. But in our shul, the minhag is like the Rav, that we don't call up a Levi when there's no Kohen. Okay, and then the last thing, we kind of look at Simchas Torah as if like all bets are off. No, what really is that the way it works is that there's machlokas according to the mechaber. You can call a Kohen Achar Kohen Behefsek Yisrael B'nei, meaning you can have Kohen Levi Yisrael, and after that you can call another Kohen in the list. And the Ramah says that we wait until the seven Aliyahs have elapsed, meaning once you've reached five on Yantiv, and then you can call up a Kohen after that. The Magen Avraham adds that if you do that, you have to call Kohen Levi Yisrael. You can't just have Kohen Levi Yisrael, finish the Aliyahs, and then do Kohen, you know, you can't do whatever you want. It has to be in that order. And the Netziv points out that we don't do that, like in Simchas Torah. I don't know, maybe we try to do that, but you don't have to have Kohen Levi Yisrael. Once you finish the first five Aliyahs, you can just, you know, however you order people. But I think people try to do Kohen Levi Yisrael even after the first five. The Mishnah Berurah points out that in Simchas Torah, we're makel even, this is where we do bend the rules a little, even within the first five, you can have Kohen Levi Yisrael, Kohen Levi Yisrael, right, as Aliyahs 4, 5, and 6. So we do, you know, maybe a little bit, we bend the rules in Simchas Torah, but bottom line is that you don't really, once you have Kohen Levi Yisrael, you're not really required after that to have the order Kohen Levi Yisrael, and so you can have, you can start just calling up Kohanim or Levium. Just, I think we try to do Kohen Levi Yisrael as a matter of, I guess, to be choshish for the Magen Avraham as much as possible. Okay.